You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Season 2 finale of Human Target. Tonight's host is Elizabeth Kiernan. Joining Elizabeth will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Heather Renier, Adam Carell, and Stephanie Toby. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Human Target news and gossip. We want to hear from you, too. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 347-855-8269. That's 347-855-8269. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Elizabeth Kiernan!
Hello, thank you so much, Rich. I am here, and we are discussing Human Target Season 2 finale titled Marshall Pucci. I am here with Heather Renier.
Hello, hello.
And unfortunately, Adam and Stephanie could not be here, so it's just the two of us tonight.
They're in the Spider-Man musical.
Right.
They were understudies.
And they got bumped up.
They got bumped up. It's very exciting. We're happy for it.
Very exciting. So first I'm going to throw it to Heather so she can give us an episode recap.
This was the season finale of this season two of Human Target. And basically it's the culmination of this mystery that's been going on the whole season of who killed Ilsa Pucci's husband. And we get to the bottom of that in this episode. And our entire team is at stake in the episode. And there's some stuff that happens between Chance and Ilsa, maybe.
Let's get into that,
maybe.
So carried over from last week's episode, episode 12, which was The Trouble with Harry. Mm-hmm. So at the end of that episode, Ilsa is drunk.
She's very drunk.
Yes.
She's very upset.
And she and Chance have a kiss.
They have a kiss. It's true.
So the whole season, you've kind of been wondering, is there a sexual tension growing? Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a bad kiss because it's like
right.
She's looking at this picture of her husband who she believes is having an affair mm-hmm. with this woman. And she's drunk and she's upset.
I mean, she's at the bottom of the barrel.
She's at the bottom of the barrel. Bottom feeding.
Yeah.
Very, very low. And he walks in kind of at the right or wrong time.
He's kind of her knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
In that sense.
And so they have this kiss, but it's not really about them.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know.
I mean, we've had those.
We've all had those.
You're drunk, someone's there.
90% of our moments are that.
Right. So that's why this episode, I think, was so interesting because I know you're just wondering what's going to happen next. So
yeah.
Obviously, you know, they show us that little bit in the beginning. So it carries through from the last episode and it's the kiss. And I loved in the beginning, there was so much tension. Like
yeah.
All of a sudden it opens and there's this breakfast at HQ.
Yeah. It's very fun because no one else knows that this kiss happened.
Right.
No one else in the office knows that happened. So Chance and Ilsa are being weird and they kind of are like, oh, I wonder if they got in a fight again because they kind of always butt heads. But the opposite is true.
I know, but Winston knows something's going
on. Winston always knows.
I just love...
Winston has a sixth sense.
Yeah, and everyone's just like eye contact and they're kind of like darting their eyes away.
Yeah.
And Ilsa says a toast and all of a sudden she's leaving for London, didn't say you know, real goodbye, didn't hug anyone, was like, well, I'm off. And that was it. And you just Winston the whole time. He's like, there's
like,
something going on.
Something's amiss.
I love when he's like, just because we're men, that doesn't mean we can't talk about our feelings.
I know.
And
he's
Chance
real...
was like, yes, that's exactly what that means.
He's a real softie, that Winston.
I mean, obviously they still didn't talk about the kiss throughout the episode. And he didn't tell Winston. But, you know, at one point when Winston walks in on them and they're in the hotel room because they're hiding, he knew that something was going on just from their body chemistry and the tension that was in the room. It was insane.
It was, yeah. And I think that that's something that could be unpacked in the season 3, possibly.
Right. But I mean,
the
team finding out, but I think that this isn't something that they want to carry on and just have it be
No, yes.
I know some people are very concerned about just reading fan sites or something like that. And I know people are like, oh, is it just going to be this thing between Ilsa and Chance?
Yeah.
And No, but it's also like, Chance is never with anyone.
He's never with anyone, but it also it'll kind of keep getting dug up. I just feel because it will it that does resonate with the team, whatever mm-hmm. they have.
Yeah,
and I feel like they're gonna try to kind of put it below the surface, and it's kind of gonna come back up.
You know, Winston's gonna have a problem with it, yeah. especially because he asked him point blank, yeah. "Did anything happen between you two?" And Chance just kind of brushed it off.
Dirty liar.
Exactly. So you know we. When the kiss happens, it is because she is drunk looking at this picture that they have uncovered of her husband with another woman. So, of course, we assume it's a mistress. They're reaching across the table, holding each other's hands in a hotel bar.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, what would that picture do to you?
Oh, I'd be devastated. Are you kidding me? Yeah. It's terrible because it's also like he's dead. There's no resolution. Mm-hmm. There's no point in knowing.
I think that's the worst thing.
It's terrible. And I think that she does a really good job at just playing that, having that color throughout the episode. Like, mm-hmm. she's tortured. You can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was really great in the episode.
Yeah, she did such a good job, I think.
She's really great with emoting, too, and just being grounded and... You just mm-hmm. believe everything, you know? Do. And also, you can just tell she's acting from a real place and mm-hmm. knowing that she has, I mean, she has a child, but she has, like, a, you know, a man that, mm-hmm. they're not married, but they're, you know.
What would you do?
Oh, my gosh. I would, when you feel like everything you knew was a lie, yes. that is the worst feeling ever.
It colors your entire life.
Even if you had a boyfriend and then, you know, broke up and then found out he cheated on you at the end.
Forget
it's like
it.
You just question everything. Yeah. So that must be the most haunting thing because he's dead. So, mm-hmm. right, there's no resolution. And you just retrace and, you know, you think back and she has that flashback when she's on the phone and it's the last time that they spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes that he's being, you know, a driver is taking him somewhere that he's not supposed to be. So knowing that those were the last words that... You ever spoke?
Yeah.
And he said that he loved you. So now you're like, well, my whole life was a lie.
You're second guessing every moment that you had that you thought was wonderful and pure. It's a hard gig. Poor Elsa Pucci. She gets run through the ringer this year, you know?
She had
a tough year.
For a Little Miss Billionaire, she's
Miss Billionaire.
She's gotten knocked around.
She really has.
Yeah. I mean,
but you know what else is nice is just to see where she's landed at the end of this season? Like, mm-hmm. Ilsa, the episode one of this season... was so
high strung,
not really part of the team, very much just the funder of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this last episode, she is in the mission, like she's a huge component of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was such cool, her character arc throughout the season I thought was so awesome.
I know.
And she really owned it.
Yeah, it's really nice to see that. And at the same time, she doesn't by any means think that she can like kick someone's ass now.
Yeah.
But it was also good because she was coming from a place of anger and hatred mm-hmm. for this woman, Julia, who then later admits that she was the one that killed Marshall. So you do believe, you buy it that, you know, if you're looking into the eyes of the person that killed your husband, you mm-hmm. would be able to hold a gun to them.
Totally.
At the same time.
I would have been able to shoot her. I would have pulled that trigger.
Yeah.
She kind of held her own.
I know. I mean, but also Ilsa did kill a man. So
she did, yeah.
She was struggling with that
True.
And knowing the guilt that mm-hmm. comes with that, even though he was trying to kill her.
Yeah.
So then knowing that this woman isn't trying to kill her but has hurt mm-hmm. someone. So actually, you know, who knows when you're actually put in that situation? You say you'd be able to, as do I. But I probably would be able to.
I know what you do.
I mean, let's just say it. Heather V. Renier was the co-writer of this episode. We're going to get into it more during the special segment.
Oh, man.
But, you know, we were looking at all the casting tapes and stuff like that for this part, Julia. So what did you think of Julia, what is her name?
Emily Foxler.
Yes.
Emily Foxler. I think she was great. I think she did a good job. She was one of the first people. She came and auditioned for us on the lot. And we really liked her. We liked her because it's very difficult, much like in the movie Black Swan. You have the black swan and the white swan. And she was both very good at being innocent, I thought, and also evil when mm-hmm. you saw that turn.
Because that was the biggest challenge we found. People weren't able to be the nice girl and then be a believable girl that could kick your ass and hold a gun.
Yeah, yeah. Holding a gun is like a big issue. And I think that she just sold it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very happy with her.
Yeah,
she
that's
did
great.
A great job.
Well, also, the different thing about this episode is this time the entire team is in danger
mm-hmm.
and in jeopardy. So it was really interesting to see how people reacted in that circumstance. I mean, Ames, which I think is true to her character, was just freaked out. I mean, she was terrified, which is true. The CIA, can see anything, and they are everywhere, and they're after you.
Mm-hmm. And what I liked with Ames, too, in terms of, like, that season arc as well, is if you remember, like, in the first episode of this season, she was, like, the tough girl.
Right.
Nothing scares her. She's totally unflappable, and it's all, like, a ruse. Like, yeah. She's a very young little girl, not as experienced as these guys, and all of this, like, terrifies the crap out of her.
I mean, she can pick a lock, but she can't, exactly. Like, kill people.
She can't kill people. She can't be in, you know, against the CIA. Like, she... This is, you know, above her pay grade, mm-hmm. as they say. So I love that she was actually almost came to a place where she's comfortable with Guerrero and with the rest of the team to be like, I'm completely freaked out and I don't mm-hmm. know what to do.
And then, of course, so she starts listing, you know, she's telling Guerrero when they go to Mexico, she wants a soaking tub and she wants all these things. And Guerrero.
A dog.
Of course, yeah, she wants a dog. And he's just had enough. But it was interesting that initially they all take off running.
Mm-hmm.
They climb out the window, they go into the alley, and when they realize, like, this is it, they're going to find us, you know, they say, all right, we have to start running.
Yeah.
And they take off down the alley. So,
and we've never seen our team do that.
We've never seen them have to run like that.
Yeah, which I loved. I loved seeing all of them and how they did react differently and, mm-hmm. and how they split up when they're kind of under the CIA's thumb. Like, mm-hmm. We've never been up against such a big bad. And
yeah.
It was cool, I thought, to see how everyone kind of scattered.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I did love that Guerrero, of course, he was being, you know, annoyed by AIM, so he was like, forget this, we're going back. I can't end up with you forever. But you also realize that, you know, he talks a big game. And, of course, she can annoy him, but it's kind of like that little sister kind of nuisance. But he realized that, like, he isn't running.
Yeah, and he trusts her. Like, you know, aside of his son... Mm-hmm. Cameo by Henry Miller, cutest little boy in the world, possibly. The most important thing to him is his Eldo. Mm-hmm. And when he says to Ames, like, take the Eldo, she's shocked because that's, like, his most prized, even though it's, like, you know.
It's beaten up. It's sentimental value and all of that. Because otherwise he's like, don't scratch it, don't, you know, and he didn't say that.
The entire season he's been like, do not touch the Eldo.
Yeah.
Don't look at the Eldo. And then he gets to that point where he's like, Ames, take the Eldo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like, I think, pretty significant of where their relationship has traveled.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was pretty neat to see Guerrero with that kind of pressure point.
Yeah.
Because we haven't learned enough about Guerrero in the past season to know what his pressure point would be, besides the fact that he doesn't like to run and he's really tough and he can come up against anything. So then when you bring the son into it, where it's like he will go back into an office that is filled with CIA agents who have guns mm-hmm. and, you know, can eliminate him.
Yeah.
Because he just won't.
I love that part. That was one of my favorite parts, is just to see Guerrero, like, you pissed off the wrong dude, mm-hmm. kind of. Like,
especially when they call him the freak.
Yeah. Like, that the CIA, the head CIA just didn't, he had no idea what he was up against.
Exactly.
Which is kind of fun.
It was awesome. I mean, I love when the lights go out. Just mm-hmm. even in scary movies or anything like that, when it's like, okay, they're here.
Yeah,
you know, that always just immediately sets you up for, oh my God, the lights have gone out, the computers are down, mm-hmm. someone's in the building and I can't see them.
Yeah.
So then, you know, they split up and Fichtner, who is the mm-hmm. CIA agent, is mm-hmm. left, but he has a semi-automatic, I don't even know what he has, but like, it's
semi-automatic gun.
Yeah, it's a severe gun. so when the elevator doors open and he just, like, lets off rounds into there,
yeah,
but no one's there, and all of a sudden Guerrero's next to him with a gun to his head.
He's
incredible.
Total advantage,
yeah,
always. And you kind of, it's kind of fun to know that and to be on his side and look at Fichtner and be like, oh, you poor bastard, you have no idea what you're up
dead.
Against. Yeah,
literally, you're dead.
You're done, so.
But that scene where Guerrero takes Fichtner into the Eldo and he gives him the key to the car and he handcuffs him to the steering wheel and he walks away. Fichtner starts the car.
Mm-hmm.
The most incredible explosion.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I loved that. And knowing that they did it in one take.
They did it in one take.
They blew up the Eldo. But was it a crow or a raven?
I don't know. There's a difference.
There is a difference.
But I don't know that we could detect it based on the film.
Yeah, I feel like ravens.
Someone should get on
they're
that.
They're probably a crow. I feel like ravens
are. You think
it's
a crow? We would have to find out what's indigenous to Vancouver.
Yeah.
I think we should. But
this
in
is
any
embarrassing.
Regard, this is
I am mortified
Our
right now.
Our facts are not straight. Well,
either way, it was
what do
a
you
blackbird.
Think? You think it was a raven?
I said
think
a raven
a
at first, but a crow makes much more sense, I think. Because
do you think?
Ravens aren't ravens just not as common? Aren't crows?
Mm,
I don't know. Maybe. But either way, in the middle of this explosion, a blackbird, be it a crow, a raven, or a painted blue jay, swoops down into the shot. And it's incredible. And I was like, and Guerrero's walking, you know, closer to the frame, and he doesn't even blink or flinch when this car explodes
Jackie
behind him.
Jackie did such a good job.
He's incredible.
Jackie nailed it.
I know.
He knew he had to.
He's one of my favorites.
He is.
I have something exciting to talk about.
Oh, my God.
The news and gossip about him.
I'm excited.
I know. It's very exciting. Okay. So just a little bit about Chance and Ilsa at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't deal with their issue the entire time. The kiss, the lingering something that's there, which is fine because it's
there's
like
a lot going on. Let's be honest.
People are trying to kill
them. People are trying to kill them.
Right.
Mysteries are coming undone.
I know.
By the dozen.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't know which way is up, that Ilsa.
Which way's down.
And at the end, she leaves again.
She leaves again.
She's like, I'm leaving for good, going back to London. Chance.
She's giving him, she's like, listen, Chance, take
she
two.
Left him like a trail of breadcrumbs.
Take, exactly. Like, come and get me.
I know. But still, you know, he avoided the goodbye because that's not his thing. And he doesn't like to emote.
No.
And
he's a caveman.
Exactly.
We've talked about
it. He just hunts and kills. So all of a sudden, he shows up. Ilsa's gone. She's left HQ. Winston is there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls him out on it because Winston's the only one that can call Chance out on his feelings. Because, I mean, Guerrero's not going to do it.
No.
So,
Guerrero's not interested.
Yeah.
Guerrero's, I think, similar to Chance in that way. Like,
exactly.
They respect that and they would never.
Don't ask,
you know,
don't tell.
Exactly.
So Winston's kind of like, well, you know, we're still tapped into the CIA, so you could actually get to her plane. Which I love the part where he's changing all of the red lights to green.
Yeah, it's so fun.
That whole scene and he's speeding there.
Yeah,
awesome.
I love that too, yeah. And you just see how they're both kind of just enjoying it and playing with their toys. As boys do.
As boys do.
They play with their toys.
And he gets there, swoops in.
Swoops in.
And you see that she's not on the plane, or she's gotten off the plane.
Well, you think that she left, because
he
gets
he sees
there.
Plane.
A plane leaves, and he's like, I blew it. Second time in a row. And then we see that Ilsa would never kind of leave because she likes him and she loves the team and she loves what she does.
And also it's like this has become her life now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not just this philanthropist. She actually does more on an even, I want to say on a more human level, but that's not true because she was doing aid work and stuff. But now,
but I think she found something that, more involved. She found something that really fulfills her.
Right.
And that she can really, really relate to, I think.
And her charity work is still going on just because she's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really helping everyone.
She truly is. She's quite the multi-talented.
So that moment where they finally are there in the airport, she's off the plane and it was so interesting because he was like, stay. And she still didn't get what she wanted because she was saying, does the team want me to stay? Do you think you can't do it without me? Or do you want me to stay? And that kind of was still interrupted.
She's like, and before she can even say it, because Chance doesn't even want to hear it, he just says, So it's like they know, but they don't.
Right, it's still unsaid.
Yeah, it's unsaid, but it's.
And then I love when the pilot was like, we canceled your flight plan just like you requested. So I was like, you actually weren't going anywhere. But I love that women do that.
Yeah.
It's still like, you don't need to know. And their faces were coming closer together.
Yeah.
To
very
kiss
cute.
Again. And then all of a sudden.
I love their little thing. I gotta say.
Well, it's nice to see Chance with anyone.
Yes, but I think that she's also great for him. Like, she's definitely, his match. Like, she's a good, decent person. And unlike...
He said about her right before he went to go get her at the airport.
She's an impressive woman.
She's an impressive
woman. He's intimidated by her.
Absolutely.
But he needs to be a little bit.
Not like the other broads he's been
Not
with.
The other broads.
But, I mean, it would be very interesting. Like, I can't imagine what the dynamic around the office would be like if that relationship continued, be the, probably the best thing.
No. I think that they have to take immense baby steps. I think it's like, this is interesting. Tread lightly because they work together and because they're both.
Which is great because people do struggle with that inter-office relationships. And
are you kidding me?
Please tell me more.
Well, me and you have had some. We work together.
That's
I don't
true.
Know if everyone knows this. Elizabeth Kiernan is Matt Miller, the showrunner and co-writer of the episode. Is
your writing partner.
My writing partner. She's his assistant. And we are at work together 24/7. And let's just say, not everyone approves of our relationship. Very dicey. We're so close. I really wrote from the heart on this one.
You're like, because this was killing me, this relationship.
Yes.
Disapproving eyes, glances. Ah, oh, we annoy everyone.
I do copy-paste Elizabeth Heather, and then I put Chance and Elsa in. And it writes itself.
Too much.
Now
too
you
much.
All know my secret.
I know. So, yeah, we feel like they're not going to go there. And I mean, well, you guys probably kicked around some season three things, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we can't go there.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, the feeling, which we can pretty much say, isn't this is not something that they're going to exhaust. And
no, not at
like
all.
Like in kind of, you know, those high school dramas everyone breaks up, makes up every single episode. Yeah. And, yeah, it's not going to be that.
Well, they are, though, as adults, even though somewhat emotionally arrested. Like, Chance obviously is, because he's just been that way his whole life. And Ilsa's still gone recently through this traumatic experience. So neither of them are ready.
No.
Not ready at all. So they kind of, like, they may want it. And I think that that's what part of that kiss was, an expression of, like, this is something that they want for their future.
I think it's also
that future's down the line.
I mean, I think it's also that each one fills a void for the other.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. It's not like Ilsa's meeting anyone else. And not that she's ready to.
Yeah.
And Chance certainly doesn't meet anyone else. And then he's protecting this woman that he cares about. And sometimes you confuse your feelings. It's like, well, do I love that person as a friend, or do I like them more? And you kind of can't distinguish.
Are you trying to tell me something right now?
This is so embarrassing. Oh my God, I'm coming out on the radio. But I think that it's a very, very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I think that they play it very well with one another too. Like, I totally buy it, even though they're completely different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
But they fit well together in the way that you were saying, like they fill each other's voids and they kind of just fit, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And I think they earned it throughout the season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
They worked hard for the month.
So hard.
I love it, because he's like a hood rat and she's this
I know, it's princess. Adorable. It's the princess.
Lady and the Tramp.
Princess and the Pauper. It's great.
Oh, so many things.
So many things.
All right. Well, we are going to go to a commercial break right now, and we will be back, and we will discuss Heather V. Renier's first episode that's been produced for television.
Holy smokes.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call at 347-855-8269.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
You'll mean it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Get in on the AfterBuzz.
347-855-8269. Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
Listen on iTunes.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
Find us on Facebook.
Your husband or your best friend?
Follow us on Twitter.
And then she's trying to kill him, so it justifies it. I'm like, oh, now it makes sense.
And visit us at AfterBuzzTV.com.
The wig! Oh, come on.
That wig, come off, baby.
No! What?
Boardwalk Empire.
Desperate Housewives.
Glee.
Gossip Girl.
Breaking Bad.
Mad Men.
True Blood.
The Walking Dead.
Big Love.
Jersey Shore.
The Oscars.
Celebrity Rehab.
The Emmys.
If it's hot, you can bet we'll be buzzing about it.
Welcome back. So, special segment, Heather B. Renier co-wrote this episode. She was the writer's assistant for the season. And then, at the end, Matt Miller, the showrunner, came to her and said, what did he say?
He said, Heather, how would you like to co-write the season finale? And I said, you're my hero. I would love to.
So, please, like, besides this being your first produced, you know, obviously you've written specs or you've written your own pilots and all that kind of stuff. What was the difference and what was the process like for you, even, you know, for the first time being the writer's assistant to being the writer?
Mm-hmm. I just have a question first off for our viewers. What is a spec first off?
Oh, yeah. Heather?
I think it means different things for film and TV, but for TV, like, a spec is when you write an episode of another show that already exists on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So you could write, like, a Desperate Housewives spec or a
Well, that house would probably be harder spec, since it's been on for so many seasons.
Yes, and because it's serialized. But if you want to do, like, a procedural show, which means every week you have a new crime or a medical case or something of that nature, you would write an episode of House and you would kind of try to capture the voice of that show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a writing sample, essentially.
Isn't it the long term being speculation? You're writing on speculation that it's going to be picked up or something like that, right?
I think that's what it means more for film.
Okay.
For TV, I think, and I'm not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure for TV, it's just like when you write a spec script, it's like, I think it's speculation in the same way, but it's not that it would ever be produced. It's actually like a show cannot produce a spec script. There's rules with the WGA against it. Most of the time, they can't even read them.
For that show, yeah, they are not allowed.
Because I get accused of stealing ideas and all that stuff.
Because even if, a lot of times ideas can happen in the same time, so even if you had a spec script and it was in it and then it ended up...
I know Lost was very strict about that. Lost people never read spec scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Lost spec scripts, that is. But they'll read it for other shows. So...
Thank you.
That answers my question and probably many of the viewers.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. That was a very good question. Thank you, Phil. Okay.
So. But yeah, it was awesome to be honest. Like we broke the story in the room, like we break all the stories. And so that part I was familiar with because being the writer's assistant, you're part of that process. But then Matt Miller, I wrote the outline with Matt Miller. That was really fun. And it was really awesome. Like Matt's a super good boss and an incredible showrunner. So he let me, you know, just do my thing and made the corrections that were appropriate. And whenever he made corrections, it always made the script better. So mm-hmm. it was really great to work with someone like Matt because he's a pro. He's been doing it forever. And I felt
he's
like
also patient.
He's very patient, very, you know, very kind about all the things that I did that weren't maybe in the right direction or whatever. So he was great. It was a dream.
So, you know, when you're a writer's assistant, you're in there, you're just typing all day, taking all the notes because everyone's breaking the episodes. They're talking about all kind of stuff like that. So you weren't writing the notes for this episode because you were there as the writer. Mm-hmm. So you were helping pitch and stuff like that. So when you would go home at night, how did that change? Because you weren't cleaning up notes from the day.
Well, when we were breaking in the room, it was like if we didn't have an Act 3 out or if we didn't have like a Winston or a Guerrero or an Ames dynamic, something like that. Like usually at the end of the day, there's a little piece that you work on that you're kind of focusing on and trying to hone in on. So if that wasn't answered, I would brainstorm at night and come up with answers. And
be ready to present them in the room.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you use them and sometimes you don't. But even when you don't use a specific idea, that oftentimes will sprout other ideas and there, you know, you get an idea based on why that idea doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the main difference. And it was great to be in the room and not have to take notes because you can hear everything and consider everything. It was really wonderful. It was very fun.
And then once the episode was broken and you were off on outline,
mm-hmm.
what was that experience like for you?
Well, it was honestly just incredible. On a lot of shows, you don't have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Things are crazy and rush. On most shows, it's that way. And Matt Miller is an incredible showrunner, so I had a lot of time mm-hmm. to do everything. So I felt very comfortable, and I just felt like I could, you know, that I could just take my time with it, and it was very cool. Matt also has a really good system for writer's assistants in general, which is the way that he has people compose notes at the end of an episode is very similar to an outline. It's kind of like a beat sheet, and an outline is probably an extended version of mm-hmm. the beat sheet that I have to turn in. So I felt like from that season, I already had a lot of experience writing outlines. Like the outline was a very good experience for me because I felt very confident in my ability to produce it based on what Matt had let me do this season.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great.
And then it was even the same thing for once you were on script, right? You still mm-hmm. had more time than most people would, so you could really...
absolutely.
And I mean, people that don't know you, you are such a hard worker, and I know that you would stay up 48 hours straight just to write if you needed to. So I don't know if it's worse because I feel like you really just like went crazy. Like trying to make it.
Oh, I obsessed and told.
Yeah, because you had so much time, so it was just going over your mind.
Yeah, I locked myself in my room and just had my way with it. But it was super fun, and like I turned in my stuff with Matt, and Matt went over all my pages and what worked and what didn't, and it was just an incredible learning experience.
Yeah, the notes that he gave you from that, was it something that was like a huge light bulb, or were they small things that? Or was it just like, oh, I see now for the next time you would already mm-hmm. know and kind of be able
it
to...
It was, most of the notes were to like kind of, I think, were probably voice notes, like mm-hmm. trying to capture. We have such a specific tone on our show because
exactly.
it's action and a lot of drama, but it's also very comedic, obviously. So I think there's a lot of balls to juggle, kind of. And Matt is very good at being like, we need a lot of Chance to be in this scene. He's very good at being like, this is the Christopher Chance show, because that's what it is, even though we have an ensemble cast. So he's very good at doing that. He's very good at kind of contrasting the emotional moments, of which we had a lot more than usual. Because
it was a huge episode.
It was a huge episode, but it was also a very personal episode. Like, mm-hmm. This is a darker episode, I think, than most of our episodes, because it lands on all of our characters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more salient, kind of. And I think, and his notes were about making sure that you have that salience and that you have that emotionality, but that's also contrasted with levity and light moments,
because mm-hmm.
that's very important for our show, and that's the expectation that our viewers have. So he just did a good job at making sure everything, you know, all the elements that we needed were there at all times.
All right. Well, let's skip forward a little bit. So, you know, you got notes from the studio and network first time you mm-hmm. were getting the notes specifically. And then, obviously, Matt went up to Vancouver for the producing of the episode because you wouldn't be allowed. I mean, you're not even supposed to go on a work visa unless you have producer in your title.
Right.
And also, we're only budgeted for one.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're watching the dailies every day that are coming in. You're talking to Matt. He's mm-hmm. talking about, I mean, in this episode, you see it's snowing. It almost looks fake, but it was snowing. And they would start filming at 6 p.m., stay up all night, and it was freezing.
It was brutal.
I mean, Vancouver in January.
Yeah.
Hello.
Absolutely brutal.
So then, you know, he came back, mm-hmm. gave you a heads up and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and then you got to sit in the editing room.
Yeah.
So describe what that was like.
Editing is incredibly interesting because it's really where all the story absolutely comes together, because you have the script and you focus on the script and then it gets produced, and some stuff you have and some stuff you don't, especially since we have such a huge show. This was such a huge episode, and you have to kind of make do with what you have from what was shot. So a lot of it is kind of all bets are off. And
you have to put it together
somehow. You kind of have to redo the story quite a bit. And we had such a complicated story with a bunch of pieces. And I think that a lot of the editing process was trying to make sure that it tracked and make sure just...
And what does that mean?
To track... to make sure that it made sense, kind of, that you understood the plot as it went through, that you understood the emotional stakes and the emotional connections with the characters, mainly that you understand it, but also that you kind of relate to it and connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important part, I think. So that's the big challenge of editing. And it's like, you know, you have things in mind in the script that you may have to lose or you may have to sacrifice.
How was that? Did you see some of that? I mean,
yeah,
of course you did.
A lot of stuff was cut from it that because... You know, it didn't track,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I think this episode could have easily been an hour and a half as well.
No, absolutely. It absolutely could have. It was kind of like a little TV movie.
Yeah, yeah. But it must be a little bit strange because, you know, you are writing this episode and then it's not fully realized. It's become something else once it's
mm-hmm.
produced.
Absolutely.
And then you have to edit it and it's something else. So learning to let go, I would think, would be a little bit hard, especially when you're like, oh, those are my words, but... They're different now, and
it's hard, but you have to absolutely move on and move forward.
It's the name.
Because it's like, it's the name, and it's also, it is, you know, you still have due dates. It has an air time. Like, that's the thing with TV.
Yeah.
It just keeps going.
Has to be 44 minutes.
It has to be 44 minutes. Has to air on February 9th at 9 p.m.
Tune in after Idol.
So, you know, you have all of those constraints or just structure, rather, so you just kind of don't think about it and you keep going and plowing ahead.
Love it. Well, this was such a great episode to do because you got to work with Matt. And
yeah.
I feel like because he is so nice and kind that, you know, anyone else, well, not anyone, but a lot of people wouldn't have been perhaps so supportive or even given you the opportunity. So,
of course, yes. It's very rare. Matt's a
big
very
ups to
rare.
Matt Miller.
Huge ups to Matt Miller and his adorable son, Henry Miller. It is truly rare for someone to give someone an opportunity like that. He's a wonderful boss and human being.
Exactly. All right. Well, we are going to move on. Thank you, Heather V.
Of
Renier,
course.
Your first episode. we're going to move on to news and gossip.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Hello, and this past week, it has proven to be the highest ratings for Human Target. Monday's episode, so that was January 31st, Kill Bob, was up 75%. from its previous two episodes on the Friday before. So that's roughly 7.8 million viewers.
Yeah,
which is pretty good.
Huge.
And then on Wednesday, so there were two new episodes in 1 week. So Wednesday, it's regular night. The Trouble with Harry, which followed Idol, was up 24% from Monday's episode. So yeah. Pretty great.
Huge.
I mean, hopefully the show is finally finding its audience.
Absolutely.
It keeps moving around so much. I don't know how people know to find it.
Yeah,
but
it's tough. But I think that the 9 p.m. slot really helps.
It's much better.
It's much better.
There's a lot of violence in the show.
There's a lot of violence. It's definitely a 9 p.m. show, mm-hmm. and I think that that was tremendous in its ratings.
I mean, we were talking about how much we love Jackie Earle Haley and his...
Incredible.
...his Guerrero, but it's rumored that he is in talks to play Willie Loomis in Dark Shadows, which is the Tim Burton-directed horror film for Warner Brothers based on the 60s TV soap that will star Johnny Depp as Barnabas Collins. Hmm. So Jackie's character, Loomis, is a notorious con artist who comes to Collinwood bent on swindling the reclusive matriarch Elizabeth Collins' daughter. So he winds up living in the mansion and he plans to break into the coffin of the late Barnabas Collins, who would be Johnny Depp, and steal his extensive jewelry collection. So when this goes down, Loomis, you know, finally he pries open the coffin and is given the shock of his life when he's attacked by the vampire and rendered the servant and whipping boy of Johnny Depp. That would be
crazy.
I know.
That'd
I hope he gets this. I mean, that's the only person that we've heard rumored to get this part, but that'd
be
so
fantastic.
So great for him. And he's such a good actor.
So good.
And luckily he could shoot it on hiatus so then it could still come back.
That's
there's
what
season
I'm
3.
About.
And then this past Tuesday Mark Valley was a guest on G4's Attack of the Show, which I watched. And in his interview, he revealed that in high school he created a computer program to match up everyone in his senior class. What?
Oh,
did Mark Valley
God.
Create Match.com in 1982?
That's what it sounds like.
He spoke
like.
About programming computers, and he was like, well, I used a Radio Shack. This, I was
He was
a mathematician. Like a math major
at West Point.
Yeah.
So
shocking.
He's,
just a pretty face.
Brains and brawn.
And that's all I have this week for your AfterBuzz TV Human Target News and Gossip for the week of February 7th. All right. So predictions. The predictions would be... Season 3.
Yeah, season 3.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All I can say is
man.
That I hope there's a season 3.
I predict there might be. How's that?
I predict there could be.
Wait, question. Can you guys give us any spoiler alerts?
For season 3?
I can't. I mean, I think the biggest spoiler would be... It doesn't.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Warning! A spoiler has been found on AfterBuzz TV property.
Holy smokes!
Spoiler alert!
Everyone, calm
Where's
down.
Where's that spoiler?
Spoiler alert!
The building's evacuating. Just so everyone knows, we're the only ones left.
The biggest spoiler would probably be that the Chance and Ilsa relationship is not going to be this full-on. Love affair, right? I mean, can we say that?
Or she's pregnant. It's going to be one of the... I don't know. She comes back with a baby bump.
What?
We don't know.
Now Heather's really getting crazy.
Now I'm really getting crazy because that's not going to happen. But...
All right. That's it. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
Heather Renier.
Thank
and
you,
I,
Elizabeth Kiernan.
I'm Elizabeth Kiernan.
Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.